the principle of God's what? Compression. By the way, this is school, and you guys came late. The first lesson you need to learn as people that are going to be mentored, imparted by Activate, is you got to be on time. It is school, it's not church. And if you don't learn it here, you're going to continue the same process. Here's the difference. Sorry. That's it. Praise God. Get me my ginger and my honey and my garlic. Glory be to God. The difference between a rich man and a poor man is that the poor man doesn't value other people's time. And neither does he value his time. And if you watch the people who are constantly late, chances are, I'm not talking about arrogant fools who come to church 1 hour, 2 hours, so that the people can wait for them. That's nonsense. Those people are also poor because they are spiritually poor. Because when you make other people do that, you are expressing a certain level of poverty. Why? Because time is life. Your life is measured by time. Your money is measured by every time you misuse your time, you lose life and you lose money. People don't want to deal with it. Why is it that the people, when you divide the equator, naturally, when you get to Israel, over Saudi Arabia, and you divide a line, almost all the people up north are prospering, and almost all the people down south are suffering. The issue, one of the principal issues, is time. That's the one of the most principal issues. Until you understand time, in the natural, your prosperity will be held up. Because time is a compression of eternity. Are you there? Until you understand time, you're going to have a problem. Because time is a compression of eternity. Therefore, time, please help me, hear me very well. Time is where God takes everything he has prepared for you in eternity and puts them in a capsule form. So that when you mess up time, you mess up eternity. Let's try it again. When you mess up time, you mess up eternity. Some of you are looking at me and going, this guy is crazy. How can he say that? It is appointed unto a man, and after that comes, what is death? The end of time. Death is the end of time. Whether it is as you know it or whether it is in reality, when you die, you don't have any more time. Unless you're a Hindu. Guy, when you die, you don't have any more time. Unless you believe in reincarnation. And even if you do, you still have a problem. Because the time that you lost, you can never gain. But in Christianity and in Judaism, the issue is that when you die, eternity, your capacity to affect eternity, your capacity to pull from eternity is over. Still there? Your prosperity, your salvation, your healing, your forgiveness, all that thing, your God, let me say it now, your God, your Redeemer, your Comforter, are all taken from heaven. Okay, let me say it again. Heaven. God takes heaven. Heaven, everything, okay? And pinpoints all of it, all that blessing, and pinpoints it in time. Compresses all of it into what? And then takes that time. Are you ready? And puts it. Let's create a stick man. Let's give him a hat. All right? Let's create a stick man. Okay? Let's give him a heart. Okay? So all this little thing that God encapsulated, God, blessings, huh? Heaven, are encapsulated in. Are you willing? Are you with me? So in other words, eternity. Are you ready? Is what? Is compressed for you and me, not for God. Are you ready? Eternity is compressed in time, right? So in this time, this moment, that you and I are here, all eternity is present here. Huh? Is God here? Is Christ here? Is the Holy Ghost here? Are the angels here? Are you with me? So for you, we know, this is the problem. This is why I don't sing the song in the stream, "By and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore." I believe it, but I don't sing it. Okay? And the reason I don't sing it is because, not because I don't believe there's a heaven out there, not because I don't believe there's going to be eternity, but I believe that if you don't tap it here, you can never get it there. Stay with me? Now, but there's something God did that is very uniquely God. Very uniquely God. Somebody say, very uniquely God. He compressed all of that stuff and then he took it and put it inside of man. Are you still here? Now, which means then that your prosperity, your wealth, your power, your glory, your might, your healing, you name it, is all where? Everything outside of you is a mirage. It doesn't mean they are not real, they are real. But it's a mirage. If you focus on them, you are like a man in a house of smoking mirrors. Because if God is in here is more real than out there. You stay with me? If the Holy Ghost is in here, then in here is more inspirational than out there. Huh? If Christ is in here, then in here has more redemption than out there. Are you still with me? Now, if you don't get this, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, how does it begin? For everything there is a, and there is a, for every purpose under the heaven. will mess you up right now. Please, I'm going to mess you very much up. My wife says, oh Lord. You hear my wife? Oh Lord, here he goes again. Now watch, watch. For every purpose under the heaven. But here's the issue. Which heaven? Think about it. Which heaven? There are at least seven heavens for people who want to make seven, right? Which heaven? The sixth heaven? The fifth heaven? The fourth heaven? The second heaven? The first heaven? Or the atmosphere? You still there? Remember I told you that God did what? God compressed God. Yeah, where? Watch this now. Watch this. So in other words, for every purpose under where? Every purpose that happens under man. Because man is the carrier of heaven. God has no time and purpose. And the only purpose God has is himself. Not you. Not the world. When he relates to you, I mean, somebody said something. He said, the problem with God is that he thinks he is God. Huh? So everything he does is about him. Okay, you don't have to smile. Somebody, you know, I told you, somebody said that God has a problem, and this is the problem. He thinks he is God. Because it's not about you. It's not about the angels. It's not about heaven. It's about him. You with me? So wherever he is, he believes everything is complete wherever he is. Is that the case? Everywhere he is, everything is complete. And everywhere he is, watch this now, everywhere he is, everything is under him. He could come and lay on the floor, right? And the trees of the heavens, the trees of earth could be taller than he is. Yet, because he's God, they're still. Watch this now, watch this. So if he has compressed himself, his time, his place, his throne, everything about him, compressed it into a little thing called a time capsule, and if he has done that, and after compressing it, says, okay, I'm going to put it inside of you. Stay with me. Now, why do you think God said to Joshua, man, I didn't bring my hanky. Well, why do you think, let me use yours. Thank you. Why do you think God said to Joshua, everywhere the sole of your feet shall tread is given to you? This is the reason. Because Joshua could not tread over trees. Are you still with me? Does it mean it's just the ground that God is talking about? What is the sole of your feet? Your mind is the sole of your feet. Your mind and your imagination are your two feet. Because they can travel where you have never gone. Jesus. Your mind and your imagination can go places that don't even exist. Oh Jesus. Why? Because Especially when they come under the control of the voice, that voice I told you, that little tiny voice inside. When they come in under control of that, your mind can go where nothing has yet been created. Therefore, wherever the soul of your... You still with me? Why did God say about the people in the days of Noah, their mind and their imagination had become totally corrupt? He didn't talk about their walk, because their mind and their imagination reflected their walk. Thank you. So now, are you still there? Now, if you don't get it, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Okay? There is, to everything, there is a season and a time, right? Open your Bible to Ecclesiastes. I want you to read it with me. Watch the two words. There is a... Okay. Under heaven. It depends on where heaven is. Okay? I'm going to mess you up just a little bit more. You and I, this is where we are, okay? God begins from the last things and moves to the first things. You begin from the first things and move to the last things. You still there? God begins from the last things and moves to the first things. So that in God's scheme, the first things are last and the last things are first. So when Jesus says the first shall be last, and it is just a pattern of how God works. You begin your day with the morning. God begins his day with the evening. Oh, come on. It's so simple. You shouldn't look at me like that. It was evening and it was morning. I didn't write it. Everything in scripture has a pattern. God said it. And it was evening, Genesis chapter 1. And it was evening and it was morning, the first day. And it was evening and it was morning, the second day. And it was morning, evening. Guess what? God begins in the evening. Let me show you. Because man will come out of woman, God brought woman out of man first. Same principle. Because the seed will come out of the tree, God created the seed first before he created the tree. In Genesis chapter 1, God did not create trees. Christians keep thinking God created trees. He didn't create trees. He created seeds. That's why in Genesis chapter 2 it says, there was no shrub upon the face of the earth, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain. What if he created the seed, and by the way, the passage says, seed bearing trees, not tree bearing seeds. Seed carrying trees. He created seeds that carried trees inside of them, whose life and whose seeds was within them. There are trees that don't bear seed. Are you still with me? But there are very few seeds that you will drop in a fertile ground that will not grow. Unless the seed is bad from the beginning. But coming from the hand of God, the seed is perfect. Anyway, that's free. Now, if you watch If you watch the process, it says, to everything there is a season and there is what? Watch the distinction now. A season and a time is different. Are you there? Let's try it in a. Put it season. Put it time. All right? We're going to come back to that because I want to do this. Season and time. Are you ready? A season is nothing but an expanded period of specific times. Watch it now. That means a particular time repeats itself several times. So a season is that what? You can actually say that the whole hour is a season. You say it's a time, but it's really not. Because it could be a season. That hour could be a season. That month could be a season. So let's use nature, for example. A season in the U.S. and in the northern part is 3 months. You with me? But it's still in time. It's not outside of time. Are you with me? But a season is a longer period to affect something that you want. Huh? The problem is, in this season, you have to work. Are you ready? In time, in compressed time, you need a miracle. Are you still with me? Seasons belong to man because of the process of his thought. Are you with me? All right? Time belongs to the supernatural. I will show you in the Bible, right? Why then does the Bible, instead of talking about season, proceeds to talk about what? Time. It leaves the season alone and doesn't talk about it when it tells you there is a season and a time. He leaves it. He leaves the season out. Because a season is God giving you opportunity to work out the manifestation of the time. You still there? Is God giving you opportunity to do what? You guys don't have to talk to me. I don't care. I'll preach to the camera. Teach the camera. Because time is a compression of eternity. Time is a compression of everything you need. When it is the right time, it doesn't mean that the season is complete. Are you with me? Time, when it is the right time, is an explosion. Remember what I told you. When the right time, when that time which is a seed is touched by God, it explodes, then you have to work out the principle that got exploded in the season. God gives you a season to work it out. If you don't work it out in the season, it passes you by. I drink my... Thank you, Jesus. Which is why it says, what does it say? It says, a time for this and a time for that. Are you still with me? And by the way, the word time occurs in that passage 30 times. Anyway, let's try. Let's go. Let's go. The Hebrew word for time is this. Watch this word now, okay? Oh, I know you don't know it, some of you. Okay. Watch this. This is the letter O, which is the letter Ayin. Okay? Sometimes it's translated, it has no pronunciation, by the way. But people call it O. It doesn't have a pronunciation. This letter has no pronunciation. This first letter. This dot underneath determines the pronunciation. If you have this, it becomes an A. If you have a big one, a very thick one, it becomes an O. Eh? If you put a dot on top of it, it's also an O. If you put this, it's an E. Right? If you put a long slash like this, it's an A. So A and E in the Hebrew carry the same value. Are you with me? So instead of being oath, it becomes S. Alright? Which means this letter, by virtue of these two dots, changes to an Aleph. You know what an Aleph is? An A. Are you ready? Did you get that? Should I repeat myself again? Let me try again. This thing here, this is one of the letters that have no pronunciation. The letter A. This letter, Aleph, has no pronunciation, really. It doesn't have a value. It is determined by the vowel under it. So if you put the vowel under it, that vowel determines the sound. Are you with me? So now, if you take this one, which is Ayin, some people pronounce it as an O, but it's the same as this because it is the vowel that determines the pronunciation. You get it? Now, watch. So in that passage, you see, this is the word that is used to describe time. This word, because of this, changes to what? A, right? This letter is the letter Tau. Okay? T-H-A-U, right? But this is equivalent, listen to this. This is equivalent to your Z. Is the final letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's equivalent to Omega. Right? You still with me? This is good. I thought it's school, right? Are you in school? Get your thinking cap up. Now, so that thing that you find in that passage of scripture that says time is what? Is A? Is Aleph Tau. Say Aleph Tau. It changes into Aleph Tau. So it is Alpha and Omega. Did you get it? It is what? And the Jewish people say, when you have this letter together, it means an angel is involved. Are you with me? So now, in other words, there is an angel for mourning and there's an angel for laughing. There is a time for this, there is a time for this, a time for this. Come on now. Make yourself useful. Are you still with me? So there is an angel for every activity under the sun. That is, everything that God does, he sends a messenger to do it. There is a messenger that does it. If the water stops, God sends an angel. The devil does the same thing. He uses his vice regents to do his work. God uses his angels to do his work. And they activate it and you work it out. But here's the thing, because it contains the first and the last letter, it means that every time the angels activate something, it has a beginning and it has an end. If you miss The greatest example of this is in the New Testament, where the angel came and turned the water. And Christians miss so many stuff. Why do you think he said at a particular time? An angel came and did what? And whoever jumped into it got healed, because there is a specific purpose and a specific. This is why I laugh at all these people who are trying to conjure angels, because they don't know what they're doing. The angelic realm is such a. Can I do that here? The angelic realm is such a powerful realm, and it is available to believers. Many Pentecostals are not aware their relationship, the interrelationship between us and angels. And by the way, if you are in trouble and there is not an angel in heaven, God will create a new one just for you. So that's why I'm not afraid. No matter what comes up in the world, God creates an angel to take care of whatever human beings come up with. You still there? Nah, you're getting in the way of the picture. You go make a photo. Amen. Let them hot it up some more. Are you swallowing what I'm telling you? Now, I'm gonna mess you up just a little bit more. Because, you know, you are here, and you are hearing stuff that many people wish they could hear, but their pride will not let them. Jesus said, the Father has hidden these things from the wise of the world and has revealed them unto babies. Except Papa. Papa is Okongo. Papa is a Congo. But are you getting my point now? Now, really watch it. The Bible did not list out everything, but it says, but it begins by telling you to everything. So you can't go around saying, but it doesn't say this angel in the Bible, because it's already told you to. Hey, are you guys here? Are you asleep? I think some of you, your head is, they go in, you know. Huh? It begins by telling you to everything. So you don't have to say, I don't believe that, because it is not written somewhere else. It told you to everything. And to every, there is a time. There is a human working out, and there is an angelic presence. Jimarahanderia. Whoa! Now, what? Something else I know you don't know. You remember the passage in Ezekiel where God says to the angel, go destroy the city. I hope you're reading your Bible. Go destroy the city. And the angel wanted to pull out his sword. And a man with a scribe, and another angel came and said, wait. Let me put a mark upon them. Watch the process. An angel was sent to destroy. And while he was trying, another angel came and said, wait. Let me do what? And he had an ink pen and he had a paper. And he said, let me put God's mark on them. Do you know what mark God put on them? A left tail. So that God marked them with the marks of the angels. So it is not only that God creates new angels above. Watch this. At certain circumstances, God turns a human being into an angel. Oh, see? Everybody looking at me? To the angel of the church of Laodicea, write. Oh my king, you are as an angel of the Lord, says the woman to David. Now, watch. You are getting more angelology today than you have ever gotten in your life. Where is my friend Nabucco? Did I chase him out? It's not hot. Put it in a nice cup where it's hot. I want it hot because of the truth. Okay? Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Watch this. You must understand some things about this. God put that mark on them. By the way, are you ready? What did Jesus call himself? The Alpha and the Omega. The angelic mark is the same as the name of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you looking at me crazy, oh. Some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. I think I'm going to stop. Bishop, I'm stopping. Eguna. Ooh. Did you get it? If I don't connect it with scripture, then you have a problem with it. Well, it is. Because you're sealed by the Alpha and Omega. It is the same seal, the name of Christ. Christ doesn't say, I'm the Alpha and Omega just for nothing. If that mark is the mark put on the people in, what, Ezekiel. It is, now watch this. Oh, how can I do this now? Do you remember the book of Revelation where the guy is measuring the city? Huh? Have you ever really taken some time to read that line? It says, it was the measure of a man. Then the next line said, but it was also the measure of an angel. It's in the Bible. It's just that you read it and you pass it over. Like I told you before, you need to be in a class and pay and participate and tap from me. Because you don't want to go through what I went through to get it. If you do, God bless you. Because if I had known what I had to get through to get it, I would have said no. It's in the Bible. It's all over the Bible. I could go through the scripture and show you this stuff everywhere. But I'm just going to give you the very basic. Huh? The Bible says, ye angels who do his biddings. Right? Anyway, let's get straight back. How many of you have ever said the angel of death? You've ever used that word, the angel of death? Why is there an angel of death and not an angel of life? There's always an angel of birth. An angel is always present when a baby is being born. Doesn't Jesus says that the angels of these babies are constantly looking into the face of the Father? Why is it a problem for you to believe in the process? Because somebody is misusing it doesn't mean you should reject it. The Bible forbids you from worshiping them. But the Bible, watch this, but the Bible does not forbid you from using them. Because they are servants unto those who have been called heirs of salvation. So, oh my, here, Rahab said, Debriandosa. Still with me? Now, for those of you who don't understand, that mark is what? The beginning and the end. It connotes to everything has double meaning, okay? It connotes your capacity to begin something and to see it to the end. It connotes that which happens, that everything that happens on this earth has an end. But it also connotes that the person with that name has moved outside of time. Because the Christ, who is the Alpha and Omega, this means that everything that begins, begins by him. So when you get that mark, you transcend time. That is, you are able to explode that little stuff and take it. That is, you are no more constricted by the constriction. You are no longer constricted by the compression. Are you with me? You know what is inside, therefore you can use that compression to get out of time into eternity. You still looking at me? Go down to verse 10 and 11 of that chapter. Somebody read verse 10. 3:10. That's right. Stop. I have seen the travail. Watch the word. Time. Time is the point of birth. It's a birth term. It's a term of giving birth. Travail. Time is when stuff are born. That's why when you waste time, you don't have a lot of stuff born into your situation. You abort your opportunities when you waste time. Because it is the moment of birth. Time is the moment of travail. That's why you value every moment. With me? Then he says, what? For he has made everything what? But why? Look at the passage of scripture. Think about it. I have seen the travail that God has given man to travel upon the earth. Is that what he says? Forget you guys. I'm going on. You're making me talk to myself. This is a class. Talk to me. I don't believe in that Nigerian quiet class. Talk to me. I know you're thinking, but talk to me, okay? Okay, let's try. Okay. Read that passage again.
Okay, sir. Verse 11 or 10.
Verse 10.
Okay. I have seen the travail which God had given to the sons of men to be a sign in it. Verse 11. He had made everything beautiful in his time.
Watch this. Why mix travail with beauty? Why mix travail with beautiful? Thank you. One relates to work, one relates to the miraculous. Let me tell you something that is going to help you. A miracle is only the beginning of your work. A miracle is just the beginning of your personal work. If you heal a blind man, you have just started your job. If you give a blind man his sight, your work has just started. If you convert a prostitute, your work, talk, child, come on class, talk.
Hallelujah.
Eh? Because if you go get a prostitute from a bar where she's having sex and making money and living and buying food, and you get her out of that job, your job has just started, because you have to start looking for a way to provide a job for her to be able to live so that she doesn't go back to where she came from. A miracle is just the beginning of your work. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, bro, thank you, thank you. These old people just get on my nerve. Now watch, if you watch, if you're praying for ₦1,000,000, when God gives it to you, your burden has just started. Because when riches increase, they increase that eat it. Yes, sir. If you're praying for a nice car, when you get it, your work has just begun. Because the people who didn't know you in your neighborhood will know you. Their wife will get pregnant, and that day when you bought that car, they will need to run to the hospital and you will be tested. This is very good. Thank you. Now, are you with me? To everything there is what? And a what? There is an angel. An angel's job is to activate the seed. He cannot work out the seed for you because he is not the one that is going to rule the world. He can do what? He can activate the seed, but he will not tend the garden for you. Because you are the ruler. You are the dominator. All he is an activating messenger. The preacher is an activating messenger because he's an angel of the Lord in front of the people of the Lord. He can only activate. Oh God. This is where the rubber hits the road. He has made all things beautiful in its own time. Watch this now. There is nothing that happens to you that is not good. Amen. Let me try it again. What did you say? Well, see, very important, but we believe God's going to do a miracle one day. I know that in my soul. I know that myself. But that's the issue of time. See? On the time, when the time hits, I believe that blindness is going. Watch this. Now, everything that happens to you may not be good in your sight, but it is beautiful. Why? What makes it beautiful? Because it is a seed that you can turn to anything you want to. Anything you want to. If somebody slaps you, you can turn it to anything you want to. You can either turn it to a fight, or you can turn it to a witness. Are you still with me? If you were born poor, you can either use it as an excuse or use it as a launching pad. If your mom and your dad forsook you, you can either let the Lord receive you or stay by yourself. Everything that happens to you is beautiful. It just depends on how you work it out. move. Read verse 12.
Verse number 12 of the Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
Yes.
I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life.
Wait a minute. He knows that there is no good in them. The issue is not that the thing is good in itself. Watch this now. Not, I said everything that happened to you is good. I didn't say that the thing itself by nature is good. All right? We could stay there for a while. But let's go to verse 13, because verse 13 is where I'm going.
Verse number 13. Also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is good.
Did you read eternity in their hearts?
No.
Why did you omit it? Go back. You didn't read my text well. Verse 11.
Okay, verse 11.
You read half of it.
He had. Okay, verse 11. It said, also he had set a word in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God made from the beginning to the end. Okay, let me read it.
Yeah, read it.
Verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in this time.
That's right.
Also, he has put eternity in their hearts.
But by the way, his this thing is correct too. Sit down. The world, thank you, Daddy. The word world is correct because it's the Hebrew word olam. Olam is the same word. It's translated, it's not singular world. It's translated worlds. Are you with me? Okay? So worlds, eternity in their heart. Watch this. How did I start this teaching? Didn't I start by telling you that everything that is out there has come? Huh? So he has placed eternity in their heart. Why did he do it? So that they, who is they? Men will not find out. Which men? Read the passage. He said, so that who will not find out his works? See, read it. Verse 11.
He had made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he had set the word in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God made it from the beginning to the end.
Now, watch this. That was it. This is your problem, and this is my problem. Are you listening? Listen carefully. The problem you and I have is that we want to figure out how it's going to work out before we start. Try it again. We want to be sure it's going to work out. Are you still there? But the Bible says God has placed eternity, and he did it deliberately so that you cannot figure out what he's doing. He put that eternity in your heart so that you cannot do what? You cannot figure out what he's doing by searching the world. Because it doesn't mean God doesn't want you to know what he's doing. What is man's way of acquiring knowledge? External processes. And God doesn't want you to figure out what he's doing. So he placed eternity inside of you. In other words, you, really, your greatest asset in the world is that you're carrying the purpose of God inside of you. Everything God will do for all eternity is already written inside of you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
If eternity and all his works are in here, if that is the case, it means that even the creation of angels comes out of your desire when the Father reads your heart. Even the angels that help you come out of your own desire. You can either help yourself or hurt yourself. Watch me now. When you speak a word that comes out of the place of eternity which is inside of you, you either create an angel or you create a demon. You either create an angel or you create. When the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. You birth eternity in time by everything that comes out of your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart. This is why you gotta be careful. Are you still with me? You gotta be careful what goes on inside of you. Remember, I told you have two legs in your heart. Your mind and your imagination. Right? And every time there's an agreement of two, one gets created. Stay with me? If your thought and your voice agree, something gets created. If your imagination and your mind agree, something gets created. Because that eternity is, are you ready for this? Is the nothingness from which God created everything. You believe the Lord created the world out of nothing. That's eternity. If somebody from another religion says nothingness, you get angry. And you say, that is not Christianity. But you speak it every day, and Christians can be, we can be very deep. You know, we can be very, we can be very dense in our capacity. We can be deep in our capacity to understand. We will say the same thing, but condemn somebody who says it. God created the world. It's a Christian theology, fundamental. God created the world out of nothing, not out of something. And to me, that nothing is eternity. So in other words, since eternity is inside of me, God has done something. Nothing gets created from heaven until Christ comes. Nothing gets created from heaven anymore. Everything that is created in the universe is created from the heart of man. You're still with me? Huh? If you grasp this from my Father in heaven, where are you coming from? So, watch. People miss stuff, too many stuff. People miss too many stuff. Jesus said, whatsoever you say, it shall be as you, not as God. There are too many things you're asking God to do that you should be doing. I think God sitting down, sitting up, sitting in heaven and going, oh, when God is tired of man, does he say, oh my God? He said, oh myself, what's wrong with these people? Huh? A very serious thing, you know, eternity in their heart It's an amazing thing. God's not just hiding this thing from man, he's hiding it from the devil. Capacity to create anything. There's nothing man cannot do. But here's the question that arises. What kind of God is it that gives away such power? What kind of God is that? Do you know when God tells us not to fear, that God is the absolute absence of fear? Because you and I will be afraid somebody will use our power wrong. Do you know how many people who use this power that I just told you? It's not just in Christians. In fact, it is so covered up in Christians. Christians are some of the worst creative people. They sing the same song and refuse to change. They make the same sound and never create a new sound. They live in the dirtiest neighborhood. They live in the dirtiest neighborhood. It's amazing that the village people where you grew up used to clean the village every month. But you said it was idol worship. Now your country has become the dirtiest country around the world. Because you removed the old boundaries set by the old landmarks set by the fathers. Enugu is dirty. So is Warri. So is Onitsha. So is Port Harcourt. So is Aba. I hope Bayelsa is not like that, oh. I hope, because they are new. They can plant a different thing. These guys are old. We got to change them. Amen? If a new city is dirty, then those people are crazy. I hope Abuja is not like that. See, Calabar? See? You are saying sweet. 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 When was the last time your church got together and cleaned out the neighborhood? When was the last time your church, instead of having prayer meeting, gathered together and said, our prayer today is to clean the neighborhood so we can be a witness to the people? You complain about the dirt all around. Who's going to clean it? Okay, be quiet now. See, now you're not shouting anymore. Try. The angel activates it. You work it out. Somebody has to protect me from Papa today. I need a bodyguard. Amen. I'm going to. What time is it? Almost noon, right? Okay. I'm going to teach for a little bit more. Just then I'm going to come back at 1:30. Okay? Now, if you watch the scripture and you watch the way we are going, right? Remember what I told you? Are you still with me? Okay. Remember what I told you yesterday, that it's all connected to one another. Papa, Biko, don't sit down. Come hug me. That's the man who led me to Christ and baptized me. As the man who baptized me. Jesus is good. Now, I'm not afraid of you anymore. My own papa is in the house too. My two papas are here. I'm not, you know, nobody can do anything to me. Amen. Now, you must grasp the implication of this. If the implication of this is this, that the principle of the Alpha and the Omega, which is the angelic principle, is in you. And the New Jerusalem says that the measure of that Jerusalem, the measure, the reed, is the measure of a man and the measure of an angel, is the same as the measure of an angel. It means that no angel exists without your permission. Are you still with me? But the converse is also true. That you are also the creator of all the demons that bother you. Are you with me? See, now some of you are scared. Whenever you speak, look. This is a creative principle. Eternity is in your heart. The nothing from which God created the world is inside of you. For God created the world out of nothing. But I told you, all of that stuff has moved where? Nothing else gets created in the world today except through man. Even salvation comes by a man. The man Christ Jesus. Are you still with me? This issue, until the church understands this issue, the church cannot take dominion and rulership upon the face of the earth. Why did God do this? Because God wants to give us the time to practice. And people keep saying Jesus is coming tomorrow. I say that's a lie. Why? Because the church has not yet learned who she is. How can Jesus come when you don't know who you are? You are not in authority. You don't know how to use your dominion. You don't know how to use your power. If he comes now, he'll be coming to a mamby-pamby, weakling, unrefined, unsanctified church. And God is so kind that he won't come right now because he wants to give you time. For the goodness of the Lord leads you to what? Repentance. Mrese conte Roma. Resha babande ricapata. Okay, let's go to what we said the other day. So, remember the dots? We begin with that dot which appeared in Adam. Are you there? Moved to who? To Abraham. Okay? But Abraham was a transitional figure. Say transitional figure. Because even though he was a friend of God, he was not the seed of God. He was not the seed of God. He was a heathen. Remember, that's why he had to have two children by two women. Have you forgotten?
No.
Now, you talk to me. I've already taught you this yesterday. So Ishmael was born for what? Was born to settle Satan for Abraham's worship of Satan. Ishmael was born to settle Satan. Because Abraham's father was a Satan worshiper, a Moloch worshiper, a moon god worshiper, and had vowed all his children to Satan. And God doesn't take what doesn't belong to him. He pays for it. Watch this. Even you and me, many of us have been ransomed, but we've not been saved. We have been bought, but we don't yet belong to the Lord. Jesus is our Savior, but he's not our Lord. Come on. You have been ransomed, because ransom is paying money for something. The money has been paid. You are like a goat that was bought from a neighbor that is a rough goat. The man that bought you has to break you, build you, and in fact, people don't like that kind of word. But for you to control that goat, you have to do a lot of things. Sometimes you have to castrate the goat to get the goat to behave. See, people don't like that kind of word, but it's true. Think about it. How long God has been struggling with you to save your soul? Your soul is not saved yet. There is a restoration process by which God brings your soul to rest in Him. So, Abraham was like that. This is a symbol of what happens to us. So, Abraham, God will not let Abraham have a child with Sarah, because that seed would have belonged to the devil. So he got an outsider to have a child with who? Abraham. And he says, he prophesies of the child. I'm going to repeat myself because some people were not here. He prophesies and he says, this child shall be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. Are you with me? That was the very principle of Babel from which the all of the Chaldeans grew up. The all Abraham was a... Are you ready? Abraham was part of the descendants of Nimrod. They came out of the same place that Nimrod started what? A kingdom. So when he had Ishmael, God made him wait 13 years before he had Isaac. 1 year for every child that Jacob was going to have. I told you, right? Now, because some people are looking at me as if, get the tape. I'm not going to repeat myself. Get the tape. But then he has Isaac. But Isaac is also a transitional figure, because it takes about 2 generations to clean that kind of process. So Isaac has 2 children. One, Esau, who goes to the devil again. Because the firstborn belongs to the God that you serve. So those of you whose firstborn are having a problem, if you were serving God when you had them, just relax. If your firstborn is having a problem and you were serving the God of Israel when you had that baby, because the devil has no right to that child. It's a covenant. It's a universal eternal covenant. The God you serve has your firstborn. Are you with me? I just give somebody an encouragement. Don't worry about your firstborn whom you had when you were doing the gospel. He is God's responsibility. If you were truly serving the Lord, watch it. Don't worry. Because God said to Israel, everything that opens the womb, including man or animal, trees, belongs to me. So, but you have to go Isaac, who are all transformational. Then you go to Israel. What does Israel mean? Man sees God. Israel. A man that sees God. The Bible does not say that Israel means a prince that wrestles with God. The Bible never says that. The Bible says, for as a prince, you have wrestled with God. It is not the explanation of the name. Israel, Okay? Now, but here's the thing. When you come to Israel, Israel becomes a paradigm of everything else that a believer is. Are you with me? He is the firstborn. Exodus chapter 4, verse 24. Israel.